You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Hey, we welcome all of you back to the final hour and keeping up with some of the games of this afternoon. We've told you Iowa State upsetting Texas, Nebraska losing again under Scott Frost. What a disaster that is turning out to be. Notre Dame was on upset alert and was struggling early on, and Notre Dame has just missed an easy field goal, which would have given them a 10-point lead. So they hold on right now to a narrow 7-point lead over North Carolina in Chapel Hill. We've had wall-to-wall guests. We have a little more time for some calls, as well as Chris Storing in the final hour of the week. Let's get back to the calls. And Joe is in Georgia. Hey, Joe. Thanks. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. How are you today?
Joe, we are doing great.
I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. We're still eating turkey.
Thanksgiving never ends.
And speaking of turkey, I'm not sure Tennessee's going to be able to buy out Jeremy Pruitt's contract after his extension this summer. What do you think, Paul?
Things can change, but at this point in time, which is November 27, I don't think Jeremy Pruitt is going to lose his job regardless of what happens the rest of the way. And that includes losing out to Texas A&M, Florida this coming week, and then Vanderbilt.
I don't think he will either. I think all of us Tennessee fans, we're just kind of, you know, shocked he's not changed quarterbacks by now. And how unprepared they look after halftime. After halftime, they seem just to collapse.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. I don't understand it. If he loses two of these next three or all three, I can tell you his seat will be very shaky going into next season. But it would be so uncharacteristic of Phil Fulmer to dump him this early on.
I think they'll at least stick with it one more year.
Yeah,
Paul, I appreciate you taking my call.
Thank you.
Today.
Thank you very much. And really good to have you on. Ricky is in Mississippi. Hello, Ricky. How are you, my man?
Hey, I'm pretty good, Paul. How are you?
I am doing great.
Well, another egg bowl has come around again. And I tell you, Paul, the interesting thing about that is, you know, I know it's gained some popularity over the years a little bit nationwide, but I think, you know, even the thing that happened with Elijah Moore last year, I think a lot of people are kind of interested to see what's going to happen. I think it's going to be interesting. I just hope they don't get mixed up if it ends up being a high-scoring game. They don't, because it is basketball season. I hope people don't get mixed
up.
I hope,
Ricky, the two coaches don't get into a fight, because I'm afraid for Lane that the Pirate will pull out his sword.
But I tell you, I just think it's going to be an interesting game as well. The guys from the Clarion Ledger, they brought some good points. And I've seen Will Rogers, you know, and Jerrion Ealy, you know, because they're from this area, you know. So it's going to be interesting to see can Ole Miss stop Mike Leach, and, you know, because I know they have a pretty rough defense, but, you know, but Mississippi State, now they have a pretty good defense. I was kind of shocked when they held Georgia to 8 yards rushing. That's crazy. But they always been pretty good on defense. That's what kept them in a lot of games, keep them from getting blown out, you know.
I want to say one more thing, but Ricky, and I've had some things to say about Mike Leach, but I'll give him credit for one thing. He did not have to play that game last week against Georgia. He only had 43 or 4 players scholarship. Right. He could have cashed it in like so many other coaches, like Mike Norvell. And nobody would have blinked an eye. Now, he couldn't do that this week. You and I both know if he was down to three scholarship players,
the dog wasn't going to hunt.
You were going to have the and frankly, strategically, he would have probably been smarter to say we can't play last week to rest his team for this week. But he didn't do it.
Right. And they really showed a lot of fortitude. You know, those players did. I'm thoroughly. That's what I was with. I was really impressed with that. You know, they didn't have to play that game.
No.
I thought Leach did a wonderful job on that. I'm still, you know, like I said, I'm cautiously optimistic, but I think that I think it's going to be an interesting game to see. It's going to be pretty exciting because I'm a fan of Lane Kiffin. The Ole Miss is fun to watch, man.
They are.
You know. Yeah, so I think it's good. If State must have some points against their defense, it could be a very interesting game.
Yeah, I think for the first time in a while, Ricky. Thank you for the call. It's always good to hear from you. I think the bitterness has abated in this game, and it needed to. What happened last year, two or three years ago? I mean, that's inexcusable for an SEC game. Hey, thank you for the call, Ken. Is up next. How are you, Ken?
Doing well. How was your Thanksgiving?
It was quiet but peaceful. So it wasn't the normal chaos that we've all come to love.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it. I enjoyed mine. Ate too much as usual. I wanted to talk about the fact that I think it's a smart rule that they put in place that a coach who has coronavirus shouldn't interfere with whoever is responsible for running the game during the football game. And here's why. I don't know what kind of high-tech gadgetry they would have to communicate, but certainly text messages would be stupid because that would be distracting. I don't know if Nick Saban would be talking by phone. I would think that would be the way he'd go if he was allowed to do that. But one of the symptoms of the coronavirus is extreme irritability.
Right.
And Nick, bless his heart, tends to get irritable enough sometimes during a football game. And I think with a man like Steve Sarkisian, I think he's totally capable of handling the ball game. I have complete confidence in his ability to conduct the Iron Bowl tomorrow, and I don't think he needs to be interfered with. I think when you hire a man to do a job, if you can't trust him, then you're wasting his time and yours. And also, one of the reasons the Atlanta Falcons are having such a dismal season is because Alabama has Steve Sarkisian, and Atlanta no longer does. And he's a very fine coach. And I'm not worried a bit, and I think Nick needs to take care of Nick and delegate responsibility.
You know, Ken, I have to say I agree with that part of it. The hardest thing for any CEO or whatever is letting go. And you know, I don't know how sick Saban is. He may feel better than I do right now. But he's still dealing with something that's serious, whether people want to believe it or not. And I know one thing. I can only use myself as an example, but on that occasion when I'm not doing the show, people always say, well, what did you think? I never watch it. I will not listen to it because it's better, and usually there's a reason I wouldn't be on, but I just think the worst thing in the world is for people to micromanage, and if you can't be there, stay out of the way.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy.
It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
I agree.
And by the way, he's involved up until kickoff, so that's all we're talking about. We're not talking about today, tomorrow at 5 o'clock, at 2 o'clock. But at some point, there's a cutoff, and that's it. So he, you know, because I mean, I you could come up with a doomsday scenario that maybe he really is ill and affected, and you don't want that to happen either. If you're not well enough to be there, then stay home.
Stay home, rest, take care of yourself, and let Steve Sarkisian run.
Exactly.
The
I like
it's
that. And, by the way, thank you for the call. Sarkisian, I think Sarkisian has a lot on the line tomorrow in a positive way. If Alabama looks as good as it has looked all year, and I can't imagine why they wouldn't, Sarkisian is going to get a lot of people's attention. I hear his name mentioned at a number of places, not as prominently as others, but he is well thought of as a coach. It wasn't his coaching that undid his career. Let's continue. And a man who never misses a day of work, so he doesn't have to worry about micromanaging, is I-Man.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. You know, I do all my micromanaging right there on the job. I mean, right there on the job. I'm part of everything. But, you know, Paul, first off, I know it's Auburn, Alabama conversation, but I hope LSU beats the hell out of Texas A&M tomorrow. I just don't like that Texas A&M. And you know, on this rules thing, this is kind of a gentleman's rule, right? I mean, Saban's not to be involved. And there's no loopholes to look through. It's the intent. I think the content is the intent to stay out of the way, and you can't coach. Now, is Nick Saban going to be a gentleman? Has he got to micromanage? They got to bounce satellites all around the Soviet Union through Czechoslovakia and Asia and Africa and back down through Central America and back up to Tuscaloosa?
I believe that there is an NSA satellite that is going to hone in on Saban's house tomorrow on the lake.
Oh, Saban's got enough money. He just probably buy NASA for the weekend. But anyway, you know, Paul, you know, you've said it best. The favorite team usually wins. Let's throw the record books out and all that kind of stuff. I mean, you know, occasionally something like that happens, but it's not very often. Usually the favorite team wins. And somehow or another tomorrow, expect the Auburn Tigers to be dead in the middle of that game. And don't be surprised, because, you know, Auburn does have a win. They own the record. In Tuscaloosa. They have a winning record against Alabama in Tuscaloosa, Montgomery, and Auburn, everywhere but Birmingham. And guess what? This game ain't in Birmingham or Dan Eagle.
We will take a break. We have a little bit of time left here on a Friday night. We hope you'll stick around. Chris Doering drops by pretty much every Friday night to give us his insight and look ahead to the weekend. And that is coming up next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back, and Chris Doering joins us as he does every Friday night. Chris, thanks for the time. Hope you had a great holiday. Welcome back to the show. We have had a number of people talk about this rule. I believe it's an NCAA rule that precludes Nick Saban, or any coach for that matter. Sam Pittman went through it a couple weeks ago, from actively participating in the game once it begins. Do you have any idea what the real intent of this rule was?
You know, I would have to imagine that they never imagined a pandemic globally affecting the ability to coach in football games. I guess it's probably some use of technology from outside sources, perhaps. I don't know if there's a benefit from potentially stealing signals if you're watching the TV broadcast or something. I mean, I have to imagine there's some sort of design for something like that, for any sort of outside influence. But I can guarantee you that when the rulemakers came up with it, that this was never a scenario that they thought they would have to have with coaches not being able to be with their teams on any given Saturday.
Which leads us to the question that we've asked, and I still think it's perhaps the most interesting part of the game. Nick Saban won't be there. We know that. But as great of a coach as he is, he has the best team in the country. By not being there, what does his team lose?
Well, I think there's a couple things we need to keep our eye on. First of all, Steve Sarkisian. You know, I think he's been tremendous this year in terms of play calling. Obviously, the play design is great. But how much with him having to oversee the entire team, the game in general, managing situations, is that going to take away from his maybe game planning within the game from the sideline? All right, thinking ahead two series, here's what I want to try to set up. Some of those things, maybe losing some attention to the in-game play calling, I think is something that we have to keep our eye on. Then secondly, you know, what a benefit it is for Pete Golding to have a defensive mind like Nick Saban on the sideline. Sometimes it's probably a negative, having to have him breathe over your shoulder and looking down on everything you're doing. But at the same time, I think we've seen some things over the last couple weeks, including last week against Kentucky, where the defense wasn't sharp early on. And having somebody with that much experience, I think, is a benefit to being able to, you know, help get things back on track and provide a little bit of a stabilizing factor. I think as a whole, as a lot of people have talked about, I mean, what a great dress rehearsal the week of the Georgia game for what they're going through this week. Obviously, it didn't have to go on through the game, but I do think it's a situation where you have maybe the greatest college football coach in the history of all sports as well. Maybe not having him on the sideline, the one thing you lose is some of the confidence factor that he brings to your team. But I really feel like there's some capable coaches that'll be able to take over. And I think the two things I look at, like I said, were just how Sarkisian is affected by not being able to just focus on the offense. And maybe if things start to go wrong defensively, not having the experience of a Nick Saban there to get things back on track would be what I would be concerned with.
Chris Doering with us. Chris, aside from the Saban factor, what happens in your mind on the field? What needs to happen for Auburn to make this interesting?
Man, I would love to see this be a game that's Auburn is full strength. I mean, you know, we talked about it early in the season. I was not high on Auburn at all. I thought that they really didn't have any sort of offensive identity, and I thought that they were a little bit lost, and then all of a sudden the offensive line seems to gel, start coming together. They figure out Tank Bigsby's their bell cow back, and they start running the football, you know, what, five straight games, over 200 yards, I believe, and that became something that took the pressure off of Bo Nix. My concern is with as banged up as that offensive line is and with Tank Bigsby being as questionable as he is right now, do we see regression? Is this something we would go back and look at the offense with Bo Nix like he did against South Carolina, where he's trying to do too much, trying to win the game himself? So I think it's a tough enough challenge to play against Alabama, who I feel is the most complete team in the country right now, when you are at full strength. But to not have maybe your best back and your offensive line at 100%, I think it's going to be a tough day. So what I would expect, obviously you got to create some turnovers like Auburn did last year in that win at Jordan-Hare. And I think you also have to provide, you know, some different look. When Alabama's had trouble defensively, it's been, you know, Kentucky gave them some hard time early in the season, early in the game last week with some unbalanced stuff, with some shifts, with some motions. So you got to create some issues where there's confusion. Because as we know, Alabama's defense has not always communicated the best. So try to create some confusion there early in the game with Alabama and see if you can't hit some big plays.
Handful of games I want to get your opinion on. One looks like a great game on paper, and I'm speaking of LSU and A&M. I'm not sure it will be, but what's up with LSU? They've been erratic. They've had some good games. They've had some disastrous games. A&M playing lights out right now.
You know, let's start with LSU, Paul. And last week, you know, I talked about them maybe not being the best coach team or not being able to take what they're being coached on the practice field into the game. And I think you look at what they did last week. The biggest takeaway for me was that they really implemented a game plan and they played it out really well against Arkansas. This was an offense that held the ball for almost 42 minutes. They were able to run the ball as successfully as I've seen them run it this season, with the exception of maybe the South Carolina game. Defensively, they were lights out on third down, holding Arkansas to 0-10 on third down tries. They gave up a couple big plays, which is still an issue in the secondary. But all in all, I thought that taking a game plan and executing it on Saturday was something that I hadn't seen them do consistently, and I thought they did a nice job of that. Now, with that being said, – short of Alabama, I think A&M's the second most complete team. They've evolved considerably, particularly on the defensive side. We're talking about the number one total defense in the SEC, and that's after having played against Florida and against Alabama, two of the best offenses in the country. Kellen Mond has been fantastic. I think he's certainly evolved a lot since the Alabama game, and a lot of it has to do with the ability to run the football. This offensive line keeps him upright, and this offensive line opens up a lot of holes. They get a bunch of push for Spiller and Smith, and I think they, too, have figured out what their identity is on offense. It's running the football first. It's the play-action pass off of that, and they're developing some receivers that have come along. I hated that Caleb Chapman went down early in the year against Florida, but they've got some other guys that have stepped up well around Jalen Weidermeyer.
In LSU's schedule, in case you were wondering, it couldn't be any tougher. They have A&M this week, Alabama now. That announcement came out earlier, and then Florida. That's a brutal three-game stretch for a team that's already seen a lot of ups and downs. Let me close by asking you about the Egg Bowl. Not a lot on the line outside of Mississippi, but everything on the line within. Your thoughts on Mississippi State, which has been one of the hardest teams to wrap our arms around, and Ole Miss, which has been almost everyone's favorite team to watch.
I can't wait to watch this game myself. I mean, offense, if offense and scoring points is what you like, I'm sure we're going to get a lot of that. Obviously, Lane Kiffin's done a fantastic job. He inherited some really talented players on that offense, and Elijah Moore turning into the most productive receiver in the country this year has been impressive. And if you go back and look at what they did last game out against South Carolina, they use Elijah Moore in the backfield a lot, too. I think he had six or seven carries as a running back, so they want to find ways to get him the ball any way that they can. But let's be honest, their deficiency is their defense. And Mississippi State looked like they took some strides last week. Will Rogers was efficient, taking what the Georgia defense was giving him. I have to imagine that they're going to have success against that Ole Miss defense that's been less than impressive by any means. So I think it's going to be fun. It just reminds us of what a difference a year makes from where we were last year with Moorhead and Luke and what happened with Elijah Moore. The butterfly effect that set things into motion that I have to imagine, you know, right now in Oxford, they're pretty happy with what's going on with Lane Kiffin and the exciting style of offense they're playing. And I think there's some hope for what's happening in Starkville after what you saw them be able to do last week against Georgia.
Chris, thanks for making time. We will talk to you next week. Always good to have you on.
All right, Paul. Thank you, man. Have a good weekend.
Yeah, Chris Doran joining us. And we mentioned, I alluded to it, but Chris will be part of SEC football final tomorrow night at 10:30. That's following Georgia, South Carolina. We'll update you in a minute on everything that has happened today. Ryan Day testing positive for COVID. So we have the number one team and the number four team without its head coaches tomorrow. The Alabama-LSU game rescheduled for next weekend. It sets up a chain of command that we will share with you in a minute. But right now, we're heading to a break, and your phone calls right around the corner.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
A couple of updates. Big game of the day. Notre Dame holding on right now against North Carolina. Meanwhile, Nebraska, just a disaster under Scott Frost, 1-4. UCF and South Florida. Remember when UCF ran the world? And Texas goes down in the story of the day. Tom Herman slips to 5-3. And the Wolves are beginning to howl about his tenure in Austin. Let's go to Roy up next. Hey, Roy, thanks, and good evening to you.
Right, good evening to you, Paul. It's very simple, the reason why he can't coach during the game. You cannot have an outside source determine a game.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul.
That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Take this into consideration.
Okay.
Nick Saban is real good friends with Bill Belichick. Should he be able to coach and have Bill Belichick on the line watching the game and tell him anything that he might see?
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. I mean, I would agree with you. I'll never forget, this has nothing to do with this conversation, but I was covering a game many years ago at, where was it? It was at Florida between maybe it wasn't Florida. Yeah, it was Auburn and Florida when Terry Bowden was the coach, and he revealed that Bobby Bowden, his father, had called him at halftime and gave him a suggestion, and they ended up winning the game, and it did not go over well with the Gator fans, and it's a totally different situation, and I don't know whether that, because I mean, obviously Bobby Bowden was his father, not a coach, but it's a good suggestion. I've heard both sides. I still think it's there should be some limitations, but ultimately the game should be decided in the stadium, not somewhere else. Thank you for the call. Let's check in with Trey, who is up next. Hey, Trey, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. I love your show, man.
Thank you.
I just wanted to touch on Saban's situation. And, you know, just you follow Alabama football like I do. We all know that Monday through Friday, those I's are dotted and those T's are crossed. And we all know that those Saturday games, all that is butt chewers for those players and the coaches that don't do what they had done Monday through Friday.
Well, thank you for the call. I tend to agree that most of the preparation is done by the time the game starts. But in a close game, adjustments matter a great deal, and Nick Saban is extraordinarily good at that. I don't think this will be a close game, but you know, we have never had a game before where Nick Saban has missed. So this is a different situation than we've ever been through before. Cat Daddy, I doubt. Excuse me. Let me grab Cat Daddy here. Cat Daddy, what do you think? How are you?
Oh, man, I'll tell you what, we had some great Thanksgiving at the Sign Bomb. We had turkey, honey, ham, my favorite oyster dressing. We had sweet potatoes and pecans, of course, the green bean casserole. Lord, have a macaroni and cheese. We had a good time. How'd you do?
We were a little thriftier than that in terms of high-caloric food, but we had a great day.
Well, good for you. Good for you. Well, I know what you're going to ask me tomorrow. I don't know whether to wear all black and a veil to go to the game.
Well, I feel for you. I know this has not been a particularly fun year, Cat Daddy, but better days ahead.
Well, yes, sir, you always got to look at brighter days and the future and everything. But I'm going to make a prediction for you tomorrow. You watch Pittsburgh. They might just surprise Clemson again.
Oh, really?
They got a good little team.
They did that about 4 years ago.
Yes, they did. They could do it again. But I don't think that anybody's going to be down here. I just don't think we can beat Georgia. But you never know. Like Heather Dennis would tell you the other day, you just never know. They could surprise you. But Lord have mercy, they surprised me enough with all the stuff going on. But anyway, I still love my Gamecocks, and I love watching your show, and I knew Notre Dame was going to beat North Carolina. I got $500 on that one.
So, Notre Dame's up by 7. What type of number did you get?
6.5.
So you gave 6.5, or who do you have in the game?
I gave 6.5.
Okay, yeah. Well, you are very likely going to win that money because Notre Dame has the ball and leads by 7.
I know. I gotta have some money to pay for all that Thanksgiving food we ate.
Cat Daddy, I'm a novice because I don't bet, but $500 sounds like a lot of money to me.
Well, I thought it was a pretty sure bet because everybody was saying how close it was going to be, but I'm going to tell you what. Notre Dame is going to win the national championship. I don't care if they play Clemson again or if they play Alabama, but I think Notre Dame is the best team out there. And I don't like Notre Dame, never have, but I still got to go with my brain. Well, my brain says Notre Dame, they number one, and they're going to be the national
champion. Well, I'll tell you one thing. Their defense today has just been very difficult to deal with. And, you know, Ian Book does not get a lot of credit, but he makes some huge plays. Hey, thank you for the call. Hope you hold on and cash in that chip. I depend on one person for football knowledge, and this has been going on now for about 15 years, and he is next on the line. He is none other than legend.
What's going on, Coach? What's going on?
How are you?
Man, I'm doing all right, Paul. I've just been following this election, man, but it's time to get back to some football.
Hey, by the way, did they ever decide who won? I haven't been keeping up.
Well, you know what the doctor says. Any election that lasts more than 48 hours, you ought to seek a psychiatrist. So.
Well, listen, I am currently seeing one right now.
Yeah, I done lost 3,000 followers because of the election, Paul. I don't like the Republicans, and I like the Democrats. I don't like none of them. I think they all pretty successful to me, so, you know. But, hey, Paul, 2020's been a horrible year, man. A lot of folks have been hurt. I hope everybody's doing good out there. The legend says his love. Man, it's been a disastrous year. But one thing, Paul, one friggin' thing can make it all right. You know what that is?
I'm betting it has to do with the Crimson Tide.
Us putting a foot in Auburn's behind, Lamar. That's 30 points. Would make everything okay, Paul. It would make everything. 2020 would be back to normal. And I could just put a foot in Auburn's butt, Lamar, and deal by about 30 points, man. That would make everything,
You know, I don't know why, legend. I still remember being at that game in 2000 and what was it, 2007 when or 8, I can't remember. Which game was that? When 2008 when Nick Saban sent Tommy Tuberville out the door with a 36-0 loss, and then he did the same thing to Chizik with a 49-0 loss. You don't think this is in that territory, do you?
Well, see, we don't even need Coach DeMar. This one is for Coach DeMar. Coach, just kick back in your lazy boy. Get you some iced tea. Talk to Miss Terry, because we got this. And I look for a beatdown, Paul. What we beat Kentucky by last week? 60?
Something like that.
You know why we beat Kentucky by 60, Paul? You know why we beat them by 60?
Tell me why, legend.
Because they are dumb enough to vote Mitch McConnell, that turtle moron, in the office for 7 terms. Any state that is that friggin' stupid deserves to be beat by 60 points. We should have beat them by 100 points.
Legend, I don't know how to tell you this, but McConnell is a U of L fan. He's not even a Kentucky fan.
Well, whatever he is, Kentucky must be the most stupidest state that's ever lived for putting that turtle in office for 7 terms. But let me regress from the election before I lose 3,000 more followers.
But you did end up with one of your favorite people as your United States Senator, did you not?
Hey, and this is what'll kill you, Paul. I met him in person. He didn't even know I was a legend. I talked to him, and it's going to knock your socks off. You know, this is my first time ever voting. I voted for Tommy Tuberville.
Well,
I actually did, Paul, because I actually believe that he's got enough sense to go to Washington and to work across the aisle, something that the Hatfields and the McCoy, I'm sorry, the Democrats and Republicans don't seem to be able to do in Washington anymore. So I did vote for him just because I thought Doug Jones was a weasel at the end of the day. But what got me in real trouble was I didn't vote Republican all the way across the line. And you know, in Alabama, if you don't vote Republican, then you're just a stupid idiot as far as these folks are concerned. But all that will be made all right, Paul, if we just put a foot in Auburn's butt tomorrow, man. Hey, Paul, I love you, dude. Roll Tide Nation, let's get it on, Auburn. We're putting that foot in that butt tomorrow.
The legend with some political observations.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.